Y'all have a quick seat for me. I got it. 5 minutes that God put something in my heart, and this is exactly what I knew we were going to be, so I'm excited about this. Today is the day of Pentecost. As you probably read in my email this week, in the same fervor, the same sense of expectation, the same sense of celebration by the way we celebrate Easter, I believe the day of Pentecost to be celebrated with that same expectation. Now, maybe y'all didn't hear me. Okay. Did Jesus die for you? Did he raise again for you? Does that make you excited? Well, I'm telling you, in the same way, when the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, came to live inside of you, that should excite you. See, the fallacy is that we can live any part of the Christian life on our own. We look at the miracle of what Jen went through and came out of, and we say, that was absolutely nothing but the hand of God. The fallacy comes, says, but tomorrow I'm going to love my wife, I'm going to love my children, I'm going to love my world, and I'm going to love them well, and they're going to know Jesus. The fallacy is it doesn't require Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. It's the one of the most important moments in the events of human history was when the God of the universe not just sent his son in to die for you and raise again as you, but when he sent his very presence into the people that he born again, that he brought new life to. It's not an insignificant event in human history. And the problem is in the church, because sometimes we're worried about hype, and sometimes we're worried about over-emotionalism, and we think that the sign of holiness is that I'm just going to be very devout, and I'm going to have myself put together, and I'm just... Look, y'all, if you've been around me anytime, you know I'm not a quiet person, right? And let's say this, there have been people that have hyped it, because they felt like they had to create something out of nothing. And the point of the matter is we don't have to create anything. All we have to do is facilitate who he is in us and through us. You know what I'm saying? And so it's this day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And here's what happened in the Old Testament is Moses comes down with the law. And God wrote the covenant, the old covenant, the way he was going to deal with his people in relationship, the old covenant, the old contract. He wrote those on tablets of stone. And it was something, and here's the deal about the old covenant, it was dependent upon human effort in order to fulfill the requirements of the old covenant. And the reason he did that was, is the initial invitation when Moses came up on the mountain was, bring the people to me and I will become their God and they will be my people and we will relate face to face as friends relate face to face. And so as he goes back down to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai, and he goes, God wants you to come up. And they looked on the mountain, and they saw the fire of God on the mountain. They heard the thunder that we heard earlier on the mountain, and they became afraid. And it says, Moses, we don't want any part of that. You go meet with him face to face as a friend. You come tell us what he's saying. And God says, because you've rejected my invitation of intimacy, I'm going to show you what's required of you to be perfect. And so he gives this old covenant and this old law. But don't miss the initial invitation. The initial invitation was that God would speak to you personally, one-on-one, that you would not need an intermediary like a pastor or a minister or any of those things, that you could speak to God face-to-face as a friend. And that same invitation is there for us today. And what happened on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, 50 days after Jesus died on the cross. Remember, Easter took place at the Passover. The Passover lamb was sacrificed, paying for all of your sins. And 3 days later, he rises again. So 50 days later, Jesus is already ascended into heaven. He spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom of God. And he says, now I got to leave. It's better for me to leave so that I can send something even better. Now, what's better than Jesus? As long as Jesus was on the planet, you had this type of access. But if Jesus wasn't in the same room with you, you didn't have Jesus with you. But instead, he decided to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you so that no matter where you at, you've got God with you all the time, every time. When you wake, you sleep, you die, you're there, God's with you. He doesn't leave you. He never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. And so on the day of Pentecost, they're in the upper room and they're praying and the Holy Spirit falls. And let me read you the account and then I want to pray for you. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Hello, what did we hear earlier? It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. In other words, God's going to show up in a way that's going to challenge your human understanding and your human comfort level. When you try to put God in the box, you're only going to get what you expect. But when you are free to say, God, I'm seeking you and I want only you, then you get him. You get what you ask for. And he comes in a way that probably challenges people's sensibilities. And everyone present was filled. Let me hear you say filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages. The Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there was devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, why do we seek signs, miracles, and wonders? Because the sign points to God. It makes people wonder, maybe there's something more than my existence. We want signs, miracles, and wonders. When the church stopped seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, the world stopped wondering what God was about. And we thought our disciplines would make the world wonder how good God is. And all they found was religion and rules, and we beat people up with the Bible. Because we weren't presenting in the presence of God. We need signs, miracles, and wonders. Not that they're the point, but the point of them is the point to him. And it causes the unbelieving world around us to go, what is up with you? What is happening? How is it possible that a woman should have died with an aneurysm in a godforsaken hospital environment? Like, I mean, we're talking about a janitor's closet is more clean than the environment she was in. And this is not the downplay. Don't hear me wrong. That was a lack of honor on my part. I'm not trying to say, but what I'm saying is all intents human reasons, she should have died. And she lived. In fact, the initial surgery that the hospital wanted to do, Dr. McDonald comes back and goes, no, that surgery will kill you. We need to do this one instead. And it makes the world wonder, what is happening? What about you? What is God wanting to do inside of you that causes the world around you to wonder what God is up to? So look what it says. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed and said, how can this be? These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking our own native languages. And he gives a list of the people that were there. It wasn't just one people group. It wasn't English and Spanish. It was like every people group around, multiple dialects were being spoken at the same time. They stood there amazed and perplexed and asked this, what can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. See, sometimes when you are touched by the Lord, somebody who wants nothing to do with God is going to mock you. And if you have the fear of man and what other people think, it will keep you from the things of God. But you have to come to the place where you have no fear of man, but you have a reverent awe and fear of who the Lord is. So much so that it's going to transform you. The people who mock you will not transform your life. They will not be the ones that pick you up when you're down. They're not the ones who are going to comfort you when you're hurting. They're not going to be the ones that when your kids are going through a difficulty will say, how can I help you? They're not. Stop listening to the mockers. Stop listening to them. And stop listening to the spirit of the enemy that wants to be able to downplay what God is doing. And look what Peter says. Peter doesn't worry about it. Peter steps forward. And now Peter is known throughout the Gospels as the one who put his foot in his mouth more than anybody else. Right? But now he's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And what Peter couldn't do before and speak in clarity, speak with boldness, and know what he was talking about, suddenly in this moment he can do it. And the people that knew Peter well knew this was something different transforming inside of Peter. And look what he says. Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people were not drunk, as some of you are assuming. In other words, 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you're seeing was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen to me. God publicly endorsed Jesus by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of the lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David was not referring to himself, for he died, was buried, and his tomb is still there among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on the throne. David was looking into the future, speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him dead among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he's exalted the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. The Father, as he promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour upon us, just as you see and hear today. When the church stops seeing that, we stop seeing the signs, wonders, and we stop seeing transformation of cities and nations. You want to know why our social statistics stink? Because we stop seeing the Holy Spirit poured out. Not because God wanted to stop doing it, but because his people stop being thirsty and hungry for him and facilitating that. And we replace the move of God with the thought of man and the tradition of man, and we get the results we get today. And I will no longer live underneath that system. This church was built in these last several years upon God. It's you above all else. It's your spirit or nothing else. And it's the transformation of the entire planet to look like heaven, or we're not doing what we are called to do. I will not compromise. And neither did Peter, and neither is Jesus.
Yes, go God!
Amen. For David himself never ascended to heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." So let everyone in Israel, let everyone in New Braunfels know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. And look what the result. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" In fact, the one that says, "What should we do to be saved?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you've received forgiveness of your sins." Water baptism, June 25th. Then look what it says. "Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You're going to receive the gift this morning if you want it. "This promise is to you, to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Those who believe what Peter said were baptized, added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Here's what the Lord is wanting to do. He's wanting a group of people who will stop being afraid of the world, stop being afraid of the shadow that they see in the world and the darkness and all the junk that happens in politics, the junk that's happening right now. And we pray right now, we just really pray for those people in the UK with this terror that's going about. The enemy is trying to advance terror. And what I'm trying to tell you right now is when you come underneath the power of the Holy Spirit, you bring terror to the enemy. And that's not just, I'm not trying to be dramatic. That's not for the purpose of like, oh, look, I'm getting an emotional response. When I'm telling you, that's reality. When he comes to you, you become a terror to him. And here's the thing, that will only happen if you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. You become born again. and you are continually filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything less than that will get you a nominal, minimal Christianity. And you will be in bondage, I can promise you that. It's just the reality of it. Because you will obey something. And whether it's the ruler of this world or it's the ruler of our King Jesus, you will obey something. And you will be underneath the influence of something. And what I want to call you out now is, be under the influence of Jesus Christ now. Pentecost, a day we should celebrate daily, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God. May he come again, and there's shaking, that there's fire, there's signs and wonders that go in. That's kind of crazy. There's manifestations, yes. But Phil and Jen talked about this manifestation of the peace of God that's beyond your ability to understand in the middle of a trial. And were they shaking? No. But they experienced the sovereignty of God. That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So before you go, well, it can only happen in this way, how about you stop giving dictates to God on how he can move in your life, and you say you can have your way however you want, and you let the results be what the results are. Surrender now. So every head's bowed and every eye is closed. And I know I went more than 5 minutes, but who cares? If you've not yet been born again, it's time now. The Spirit of salvation is in the house. If you say in this moment, I've never heard Jesus talked about like that. And in this moment, I'm realizing I need that Jesus. I don't need the religious Jesus or the cuddly Jesus. I need the King Jesus. I need the Messiah Jesus. And you're saying, I want to be born again. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to be born again. Three thousand were added that day. The church was birthed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The church is sustained by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you would say right now in this moment, I'm tired of living powerless. And whether this is your first time or you've done this multiple times, but you'd say in this moment, I need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Would you just stand up? Don't fall underneath the fear of man. Don't fall underneath the fear of expectations of people or what might happen. I think there's more. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. If you're ready to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, on the count of three, stand up. One, two, three. Yeah. Father, just like you did 2,000 years ago, our cry is that you would pour yourself out on all flesh like you did in Joel. On both the men and women alike, on your sons and your daughters right now. And so in the name of Jesus, fire fall. Holy Spirit, baptize them, fill them, consume them. There's nothing else left. Breathe on them now in Jesus' name. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ and the great gift, Lord. We say we need another outpouring today of your Spirit and of your presence, that our Lord, our world will not be transformed into heaven unless you come. We declare right now the capacity to even be a good parent, a good spouse, a good friend, a good worker cannot happen without the power of your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, radically transform us from the inside out. Let there be such a sound of transformation inside of our life that people will hear the sound and they will come running, wondering what's going on. And because of the encounter we're having with you now, in a moment, we could do what Peter said and said, it was Jesus. Do you want to know about him? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I declare a spirit of breakthrough. We honor right now the boldness of people to stand up, not afraid of man, but more hungry for you. We just thank you, God. And we just declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said. Give him a shout one more time of praise. So you guys are released. We're going to have an altar ministry team that will be up here ready to pray. If you need a healing prayer, if you need an encouraging prayer, our team's up here. We believe that God still heals. Please come forward. Otherwise, have an incredible week. We love you guys.